It's time for the Berkshire Edge on air with Robin Hood Radio. You can find the Berkshire Edge at berkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com, supplying news and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're joined by David and Marcy. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Hey, listen, don't forget we have music, and you know we're complete. You know,
you get it all.
We got it all.
We got it all.
We even
have videos. I mean, you name it, we got it.
There you go. Nothing better in life than to have it all. Or to even if you don't have it all, to think that you have it all is great. All right. Well,
audio, video.
Yeah. Audio, video. Words. I mean, pictures. I mean, you know.
The whole, as my grandmother used to say, the whole shooting match.
The
shebang.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess that comment is all out of date now, but that's what my grandmother used to say. You get the whole shooting match here, right?
My grandmother said that, too.
Yeah. But now you can't say it because somebody will yell at you, so I won't say it anymore.
Really?
Shoot match. Okay, so about that.
All right, speaking about somebody, let's speak about your governor. He's outlined the plans for distributing the COVID-19 vaccines, with the first responders, of course, like everybody else, coming first.
Yep. That's what, you know, this dealing with this COVID pandemic has been a challenge for everyone. And the governor has tried to reassure state of Massachusetts and its residents that the vaccination is going to be proceed with orderliness, and first responders get it first. And so he's going to be providing an update and gave a timeline for the distribution of the vaccine. So that's good news that the vaccine is going to be available, and the first group are the first responders.
Yeah, the people who are most vulnerable. Right. And there are more than 45,000 first responders across the state, and this includes. I think we've done the. Most of the healthcare workers, so the first responders are, fire, police, EMT.
Ambulance drivers.
It's very confusing because when you look across the country, I mean, I keep hearing reports, that people from Florida, I know people who live in Florida now, and they're not first responders, they're just citizens, and they've gotten their vaccine, so it's a little bit confusing about why ordinary seniors in Florida are getting it, and I guess they just are not giving it to they're not giving it to the first responders, or somehow Florida and other Republican states got more, so it's very confusing as to what's going on.
But in any case, there's a website that we provide will give you the distribution timeline. So,
right.
And I gather this is going on in every state to try to get everyone vaccinated as quickly as possible.
Well, we certainly hope that come the 20th at noon. we will have a more coherent federal policy on how this is being distributed, and we'll know more.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? What's interesting? I just got off the telephone with Arjun Singh's son, Gurdar, who is a junior in high school. And in India, they are just starting their vaccination program, and it's the first responders first. But because of the size of India, It will be at least, even if everything works out fantastically, it'll be at least two and a half years before everybody in India gets vaccinated.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Well, there's so many.
So many. Yeah.
And you compare that to what we said. What we said here. is it's amazing when you look at it. And in India, where they have so many people, there's a reason for it to happen. But now you look at our country, and once again, what do we have a problem with? We have a problem with getting the vaccination into the arms of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's
well, apparently there is also some problem with manufacturing enough, which I don't quite understand. But, you know, I mean, for example, I understand that the Moderna is not being vaccinated. It is not being manufactured as quickly as it might be. And there's also a limit on the number of injections that Pfizer will provide us with theirs. So it's, you know, it's confusing. But, you know, we hope to, you know, as we know more, we will report it.
All
but
right.
I think that there is, you know, I think the hospitals and the healthcare workers are frustrated because they don't know when they're getting more. I mean, that's our understanding. So it's not, you know, it's the confusion comes really from the very center.
All right. Well, let's head on to our next story, meanwhile. And this has to do with the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee and a timetable for the upgrade to, once again, it's another one of those stories that comes around the mountain every once in a while, the upgrade of Monument Mountain Regional High School in Great Barrington.
Oh, this is... I think this is such a rooted story in Great Barrington and Southern Berkshire that they may never do this, may never repair this high school because the story is just so, it's just part of our legend, you know. In any case, they're trying to feed these Berkshire Regional Hills School Committee. And that, by the way, that, for your listeners, that includes Great Barrington, Stockbridge, and West Stockbridge. So it's not, this very southern school district that borders Connecticut, but it's the one just above, just north of it. Their high school is in desperate need of repairs and probably needs replacing. At least they've tried that in the past to get voters to approve a reconstruction, just a new high school, because it's, when it was built, it was. They really need to do some major repairs.
Right. And there was, you know, what sticks in our craw is that several years ago there was an opportunity for us to receive something like $50 million from the state. Now it would have cost us something also, but it still would have been $50 million from the state. And there was a big misinformation campaign, and most people assumed that even if we didn't vote for our share, for the local share, that the state would come through anyway, but it didn't. I mean, that wasn't the deal. I mean, you know, we were on the list. It was our turn. We passed our turn, and so the opportunity went elsewhere. And so, you know, we've spent very little. I mean, that was like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more. Time flies. But you know, we've spent very little on the school since then. I mean, it needs major upgrades, and it also needs just repairs. I mean, not only upgrades to modernize it, but, you know, the roof leaks. It's just not in good shape.
Well, sooner or later, the public has to face the music when it comes to investing in their infrastructure, and schools, like bridges and like other things, are major parts of the infrastructure. You've got to, if you don't have an educated population, you're not going to have anything.
That's right. And you're not going to have people wanting to move here either, or start businesses here if their kids are not going to be able to go to a decent school. I mean, there are plenty of other places that they can go.
Well, the problem here is that this building, which is now more than 50 years old, it has many really just structural deficiencies, and you know, they have these big barrels in the hallways, and we have a picture of them that to take the leaks from the roof whenever it snows or rains. And you know, it's just it's pretty pathetic. Right. But the way that these major reconstruction projects occur is you have to get in line in the state because there are many schools that are, you know, vying for a limited amount of aid from the state for construction projects such as this. And if you pass up your turn, you just go to the end of the line, and you have to wait many years to get back to the top. And we were at the top 3 or 4 years ago and passed up the opportunity.
Right.
You know, so it's, and now the school committee is trying to figure out what to do just to keep the place going, and whether to, how much money to spend doing that.
I think what people have to realize is I look at Region 1, the high school I went to, the original part of that high school, which was built in the 1950s, is still standing. In the late 60s, they added a new wing onto it. And then in the late 80s or early 90s, once again, when the FFA was being redone, they did other improvements to the school. They just finished more improvements to the school in the early 2000s. I mean, it's something where if you have to invest, you're going to have to invest every 10, 12 years, a major investment in your high school building. And then on top of that, of course, we've got regional school districts, and those schools have to be kept up as well. It's not an inexpensive proposition.
No, it's not.
And it's something that people just don't understand, and the money that has to be put into education is so important to these communities. And you just said it. I mean, with people moving up here from the cities, we need good schools. Otherwise, people will send them to private schools, and public schools will wither and die on the line. And then how are you going to be able to afford your child to send your child to school after that if you live here? So it's something.
Yeah, education, you know, is one of those things like roads,
yeah,
you know, or any other, you know, publicly financed institution that is absolutely essential. You know, we have to keep it. You just have to support it.
I want to go on to the next story because it's the same everywhere, and that is a Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity has proposed building affordable housing up on North Plain Road, which is just north of the center of Great Barrington. Now, here in Connecticut, they advise you to try to build your housing right around a city or a town. Now, once again, what happens just about every place when that housing is proposed, opposition pops up.
Yes, I
yep, this is another
well,
one
and
of those
it's
examples.
Mostly the abutters. Now, you know, these Habitat for Humanity projects are not housing projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are individual homes.
Yep.
I actually worked on one in Hudson. I mean, they're sweet little homes that Habitat and the owners, I mean, the people who are going to move into them, work on together. Maybe if somebody were building them across the street from me, I would feel the same way. But the fact is that everybody's complaining that we need affordable housing. And these are not monstrous brick warehouses, human warehouses. These are nice houses.
Habitat for Humanity has been building houses around here for over 20, 25 years. I think they've got 10 or 12 done. They're going to be involved in the housing project in Falls Village. And what's great about Habitat for Humanity, it really does enable people to be part of the project that get the house.
Definitely. I mean, they help build it.
Yep.
They have a pride in it.
They're invested in it.
They are invested, right.
It's a terrific program, and it's a program that takes a while to do. But, I mean, here I know Habitat Humanity was involved in a house in North Canaan where they even put that thermal heating where you take the heat and the cool from the ground. They even did things like that. I mean, it really is an outstanding organization, and hopefully people will understand that. You know what? If you want to have firefighters and you don't want to pay significant prices for private ambulances, you better figure out a way to get that to keep people in your community.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this would be 20 units of owner-occupied housing. I mean, the owner-occupied, they're not rental. People will own them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to have to diversify our community.
Well, let's see what people, they got to open their eyes sooner or later and think the long term. I want to go on to your next story because it takes us to summer.
<All right. laughs>
and that is Lake Mansfield.
Oh yes, which is in Great Barrington. It's for this region, it's a little lake on the western side of Great Barrington, and it's just a delightful lake, a little lake that where the town has a beach and a playground and paths around the lake, and it was at one time the source of water for Great Barrington. But long ago. But in any case, they have a very sweet recreation area there. And this is some good news, is that a local couple,
the Chevals,
have donated funds to expand this little town park.
To get new playground
equipment. And it's sort of a Christmas present, in a way.
They're donating $45,000 for new playground equipment that's going to be placed in the Lake Mansfield Recreation Area, and Biason, if I'm pronouncing that right, Landscaping of Sheffield, will donate the site work for the installation. So this is really, I know the Chevals. They're very lovely people, and they were, second homeowners who now are living here full-time. And it's incredibly generous of them. And this is our town lake. This is our town beach.
You know, what's interesting about them donating their time to actually install it, most communities that raise the funds for these playgrounds, have parents and individuals in the community that have to donate their time, but when you have a business that knows what they're doing with landscaping, it makes it so much easier.
Right.
Well, it's just a sense that, I think people feel in Great Barrington a sense of ownership of this little recreation area and beach, and, people can set in their kayaks and go kayaking on the lake, and there's places for picnicking, and it's just a lovely, lovely spot. And it's just a heartwarming, actually, to have the people in the community come forward and donate money to upgrade it. It's just it's a good story here in the midst of a pandemic.
Yeah.
All right. Now I got to take you guys to task on your next story. Don't tell me we haven't had much snow this year. We've had about 26 inches of snow. Now our normal snow qualifying for the year, the average snowfall in our immediate area is 52 to 54 inches a year. So we're on track to still meet that, and we've had two small.
Well, we better hurry up.
We've had two small storms and one big one, and you know what? I have a aversion to snow. I really do.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Hey, well, when you have arthritic knees and you're 68, you have an aversion to snow.
it's true.
Well, we have our columnist Carol Owens, who writes these historical pieces about how the present and the past have how the present is kind of reflected in what has happened in the past. She has this story about the blizzard of 1988.
Well, no, this is 1717.
Well, we have a picture, of the blizzard of 1888,
right.
In which, you know, the snow is what? Oh, I would say piled up, 10 or 12 feet.
Yeah.
Know?
And 1717, she also talks about it being 11 feet of snow.
Right. So we should be, you know, for...
With drifts up to 25 feet.
Right. So our little piddling snow these days is we should be grateful.
Right. I'll go back to when I lived in Kingston.
There were no snow clouds.
I'll go back to when I lived in Kingston, New York. I owned a two-family house. And the people that lived upstairs had a classic car that they kept in the backyard. It was a 67 Chevy Chevelle SS Sport. It was yellow. And it snowed over the course of one weekend. I'll never forget this. We got 12 inches of snow. I looked out the back, and the 12 inches went to about the top of the tires. We got another storm with about 15 inches of snow, and the snow went up to the handles of the car. And then finally, the storm that brought down the roof at the Hartford Civic Center hit. We got another 20-some inches of snow, and all you could see was the top of the antenna.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah.
There was no place to put the snow. It was the sidewalks each had 6 feet of snow on the side of it. So when you pulled your car out, it had to be. It was just unbelievable. And you know what? I don't miss it.
Well, you know, I would like a little bit more. I feel so badly for the local ski areas, you know.
Well, as long as it gets below freezing at night, they can make their damn snow.
They can make their own snow. But, you know, they had, right before Christmas, we had, you know, a foot base, and there was a warm rain, and the entire base got washed away for Christmas weekend, which is a big, you know, it's a big holiday weekends are very important for these ski places, so they had to start from scratch and rebuild.
And they're under duress anyways because of the COVID, because they have all kinds of restrictions on how many people can be on the slopes and who can be in the lodges and that sort of thing. Now, so it's really tough.
Right.
All right. Now, let's go to your last story, and that is the stories, the highlights, the lowlights, the year-end review.
Oh, yes. So we, you know, our managing editor, Terry Cowgill, does this every year. He does a review of what the top stories were for 2020 and or for the year before. And he did a wonderful job this year. He actually did two stories. He did sort of a 2020 review, and he also did a list of the top stories that had been, you know, in the Edge for the year. And they're fascinating. I mean, how quickly we forget what was going on earlier in the year. But, you know, this takes him many days to do, and it's really wonderful to have this review of the year.
What he considers, what we consider the top 25 or so stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Now, did the plastic water bottles show up there three or four times?
Yeah, well, of course, COVID showed up a lot.
Yeah, that was
COVID. Me. Eugene Brooks Middle School. I mean, not Eugene Brooks. The middle school renaming. You've had the pot shops. I mean, it's been quite an exciting year for Great Barrington.
It has. It's been very busy here.
Yeah,
I also want to say it's been a very exciting year for the Berkshire Edge. I do want to say one thing that, you know, we put out a call to our readers that we needed help, and we seriously did need help, and we still do, and we have had a wonderful outpouring of response from our readers. Our membership has tripled since March. We are free to read, but as I say, we're not free to produce. And we have tripled our membership in the last 6 months, and I'm still hoping that people will take our pleas seriously and continue to support us. But we feel very gratified by the outpouring of money and appreciation for what we're doing. So we want to thank our readers and encourage others to join in and help us.
And, of course, they can find you at theberkshireedge.com, www.thefirstvoice.com is the location where you can go to. And, guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Right. Okay. And stay safe out there.
Yes.
You know.
Don't slip in the snow.
We'll try not to. And I'll follow also Frank Zappa's rule not to eat any yellow snow. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Oh, I think that's a very good idea.
That's very funny.
Take care. That is This Week in the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com, here on Robin Hood Radio.